Say it again.
Number 42.
42 in the red book.
Execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and love of the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God. Done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down in Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. We do serve a great God, and he is our praise. He's my praise. Don't have anybody else to praise but him. He is my salvation. He is my redeemer. He is my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He is the truth that I believe. He is all in all. He is the Savior. Amen. I have to bless him. I have to praise him. Yep. Got nobody else to praise but him. And we start off with low degrees. As the children of Egypt went down, how many? 70. And they came out as the stars of heaven. And I look back at my life and so thankful to the praise, to my praise, for all that He's done for me. Humble beginnings, but what a blessing. Beloved wife, 4 wonderful children, 4 wonderful in-laws, to Him be the praise. 12 grandchildren, a thriving church, brothers in Christ, not only here but around the world. Praise be to Him. He is my praise, and I want to give Him glory.
In Psalm 145, starting with verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. And that just is so meaningful to me, that that's what we do here at this church. We extol Him to each other, but we extol Him to the next generation. And I'm thankful that He has sent His own Son as a messenger to tell us our good news, that we have faith, we have hope, we have a future with Him. And I'm excited about this meeting, because it says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Amen. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. And we have the opportunity to do that here today and every week. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, Amen. Slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are in all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee.
Amen.
And bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. His everlasting kingdom, His kingdom that we can't see, it's still here. But we can't see it. But we can speak of what we know.
Yes.
The king told us. And we can take it to heart.
Amen.
Good morning. In 4:4, it says, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and that shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I want to say that I'm very thankful for rest of assurance. Thank you. Lord,
thank you.
Our God doesn't waver. He doesn't do backs. He's empty. His promise is true.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise and honor for everyone of you too.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalms 95, verse 1-3. Oh, come, let us be happy, Lord. Let us make you rich. A joyful noise to the lost and the salvation. Let us be joyful in the presence of thanksgiving. And a joyful noise unto Him. And a song for the Lord is a great God and great King of all God's enemies. And as much as this morning, for my memory, we all know and for
praise the Lord Jesus.
Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing.
Know ye that all the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him should not perish. I'm thankful for my family and my church. I'm thankful for God to take care of me. I'm also thankful for the church who loves me, and also thankful for my mom and dad. I love this church.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Okay, Marty. You're up.
Okay, for our speak with peace.
Amen.
And then the peace of God rule in your heart to the which also you are called in one body and be you thankful. I am thankful for this body, for the way we work together. I'm thankful for our pastors and each and every one of you. I thank Psalm 107, 102. Okay. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
Not only has the Lord given, saved my soul and redeemed me, but he also put me in this body, and which nourishes by the word that is given here, nourishes my soul. And also, I have very good friends, sisters, and brothers, whom I love very much and who have been very kind. And I thank you so much.
And praise the Lord.
Psalm 23.
Amen.
Psalm 23, I'm going to read verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And as I was thinking about today, I was trying to think about how I could limit myself to just a few verses, and you can't because there's so much in the Bible. But this verse, this one phrase, sums it all up. At least in my life and my experience, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that my cup runneth over. I'm thankful that God has been so good to me from the beginning, giving me godly parents. As I think about Paul writing to Timothy, talking about the unfeigned faith of his mother and his grandmother, and I think that's me. It was the unfeigned faith of my parents that brought me to my knees to show me my need of the gospel, of salvation, and I'm thankful that because of that I was able to understand the gospel at a young age and call upon the Lord, and I'm thankful for that unspeakable gift of salvation. And I'm thankful for my wife of 42 years. I was thinking just yesterday, it was 44 years ago Thanksgiving when I first laid my eyes on this woman. She had other plans at that time, but God intervened and saved her from me. But I'm thankful for her and for her faithfulness all these years, and for our children and our grandchildren. Some of them are here today with us. I'm thankful for each one of them. I'm thankful for this church. Many of you know I've been in church all my life. I can't remember a Sunday that I wasn't not in church, and I'm not complaining. But when I showed up at this place 44 years ago, I was blown away, and I never have left it. I'm just thankful for this church and for its testimony, for its faithfulness to the Word of God all these years. Without compromise, without bending, without trying to go some new angle, just staying faithful to the Word of God. I'm thankful for the men in this church who have done that, stood up there on their convictions. And I'm thankful for the men in this church that I've been privileged to work with for all these last 42 years. I got myself very blessed to have been worked with some of the finest men I know. And I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful Amen. For the opportunity I've been given to be a part of this church and a part of the work of the Lord. And I'm thankful for all of you and your faithfulness, your faithful offerings for us all these years. We're here this time, and hasn't been here in quite a while at Thanksgiving. We're thankful that we had a chance to be here this time. And we are thankful, and we just praise the Lord for it all.
Amen.
I'd like to share something out of Psalms that, before somebody else gets my verses, this is probably going to be unusual for this Thanksgiving, but Psalms 37, I've been, like Joe, trying to think of all the things that I could be, that I'm thankful for, and there's just too many to list. And this verse caught my attention, and it kind of humored me. So, 37 and verse 25, it says, I have been young, and now am older. He says old, but I'm going to say older because I'm not old yet. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, it got me thinking about my past, and I did not have a traditional childhood. I was left without a father when I was six, and so I don't think I had the traditional mother and father, but I did have three brothers that I'm thankful for today, that raised me with my mother, but my mother did it all. And just been thinking about my life. The Lord saved me at 16. I married at 19 to friends, and we had the four children, as he said, and the 12 grandchildren, as he said, but we also have one great-grandchild that we can't forget about her. And our children are a blessing. The Bible says so.
Amen.
But I can say my children have been a huge blessing. My grandchildren have even been a bigger blessing. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm thankful that God has just brought me over, my cup runneth over, like you said, Joe, for all that he's done, for a church family, for brothers and sisters that I absolutely love and adore. But it hasn't always been good. You know, there's been some down times. And I'm sure if you're honest, you have some down times too. And it brought me to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, and we know the story. I'm just going to highlight it. Starting in verse 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And where are you going with this, Jesus? Well, after Peter denied the Lord, he turned around, he saw the Lord. The Lord was there. And back in Psalms, it says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Even in the bad times, God's always there. When Peter denied the Lord, the Lord told him, you're going to deny me. And he denied him. Yet the Lord was still there. He didn't abandon him. He didn't say, you're no good. You're not faithful. I don't want you. I don't need you. I'm thankful that in our bad times, God is there just as much as he is when we have the good times. And, you know, we can all, I was thinking of my past. It brought me to who I am today or where I'm at today. Because if the Lord hadn't pitied me and had mercy upon me and saved my soul, I would be without hope. And today, I'm not without hope. I've got all the hope in the world. I'm even saying my cup runneth over in the hope department too, because there is no problem that I know God can't face or that I can't face that God's not there with me. And then back in Psalm 16 and verse 6, it says, the lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And I just thank the Lord that we here, all of us here today, have that goodly heritage, that no matter what age we were saved at or where we were at, time of our life, that God saved us and had mercy upon us. He's been there. And he's been good, and he hasn't abandoned us, and he won't abandon us. And that just blessed my heart to know that no matter where I go, no matter what I do, God is there. He hasn't left us. And if we're serving him and doing right, he blesses us abundantly. And when we get off track, as we all do from time to time, he's still there. He has not abandoned us. And I just want to read that verse once more, Psalms 37. Because it's a good one. It's been my memory verse this week. I have been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He has supplied all of my needs on the mission field, off the mission field. We both got to retire this year, and I know he's with us, and that brings me joy.
Amen. Amen. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm thankful that God showed me how to give thanks. There was a time when I wasn't giving thanks, hard times, and I didn't know how in the world that was going to work together for my good. It just didn't seem to be happening. And I was raised in a Christian home. Most of you know I'm the oldest of my brother Joe. He's the youngest of the family. I'm the oldest. And things were pretty hard, you know, in the beginning of my family life. With illness that seemed to be, you know, undeserved. You get to thinking if you're a Christian, nothing can happen. You know, it's bad. But I'm just so thankful that God showed me that truly, as in Romans 8:28 says, that all things, and we know, not we think, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I would have never dreamed, you know, how things would have worked out. And I'm still, you know, over in the chapter 4 of the same 1 Thessalonians, it says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God." You know, we always want to know the will of God. Well, I'm looking for the will of God. Well, he tells us what his will is. His will is that we be sanctified. And because he takes us through all these things that work together for our good, we'll be sanctified. That means we're not just going to be saved, you know, and just get a ticket to heaven. We're actually going to be changed. And I'm not there yet. That's why I'm still here. Praise the Lord that he is patient with us. And he is just and righteous and compassionate. Oh, my goodness. The compassion of the Lord never fails. And Lamentations tells us it's new every morning. I'm thankful for the newness, the freshness of the compassion of God. Because he is going to sanctify us. He's going to make us a different person than this world knows, right? Because we're going to be like him. Praise the Lord.
I just am really thankful that God saved my soul. I'm humbled and bewildered that he chose me. I think as Christians, when you've been walking with the Lord for a while, there's always that one thing, no matter how long you've been saved, there's always that one thing we just can't nail down. And for me, it's the mystery of the elect. And the issue of it and the fact that God can do whatever he wants to do, and we're not going to know everything until we meet him face to face. And when we meet him face to face, Brother Lindley says we're just going to fall on our face anyway. And not have the questions. But this year, there have been a lot of things that have happened with my extended family that I just say, what are you doing, God? Why are some people born just to perish? Theologically, we understand the issue of the elect, but we don't understand. There's some things that remain mysterious. We know that God is sovereign. We know that he already knows how it ends and that we're victorious in the end. I'm just so thankful and humbled to belong to him, that he died for me. Someone who deserves nothing but hell. I deserve nothing. I don't even deserve to take my next breath. But God saw fit that he called me, he chose me, he drew me to him out of the miry clay. And I don't know why. There's nothing special about me. But I look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That last part, I was an enemy of God.
Yeah.
I had religion. I always was. I had spiritual training. My mother always made sure that she did the best that she could with the Catholic religion that we were brought up in, and she was always faithful. She just didn't understand the truth, and so I'm so thankful for this church.
Amen.
And to be part of a smaller church where I was able to be discipled and taught, and I'm just so thankful for missionaries and everything, the long-suffering, and just all the sacrifice and work that's gone into this beautiful church and all of these beautiful people. I just love you all so much.
Amen.
And I give God the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
I'm going to read in Psalm 18. "I will love the Lord for my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and that is my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." And I want to praise my Lord Jesus. So many things that when you think about it, and the list goes, keep going and going. And but I want to praise my Lord because I have this church. I'm part of the body of Christ, and I have my Savior. And when I go through something, He's my strength. He's my rock. I have somebody that I can just go no matter what, and He's there.
Amen.
He's so faithful, and even through the year, you know, you think, "Oh, I'm gonna do better this year," and you set up goals, and you're like, "I'm gonna be more faithful. I'm gonna read my Bible more. I'm gonna be in church," and you set up all these things, and then things happen, or excuses, or laziness, or whatever, and then I don't keep my promise to the Lord. But He's not that way. He is so faithful. He is my rock, and He's just right there. And then right there in Psalm 23. The last verse. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
And that's just a praise to my Lord that I'm going to be in the presence of my Lord because He's my Savior. And I'm just so thankful and so grateful that one day, if you say one day we're going to be together gathering in our Lord Jesus, and we're going to see His face, and we're going to sing in His feet, and we're just going to be there. And I've just praised my Lord Jesus because I'm part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this church, for all the many blessings, as Jody said, for my husband and for our grandchildren and all of our friends that we have had the chance to meet in this church. I had the opportunity to come to the very first Thanksgiving. I was invited down with some college friends to come down to the first Thanksgiving. And when I came to this church, I was like, wow, I've never seen such a living, breathing church that grew, that gave me meat, that gave me what I wanted to hear. And one of the verses, my first verse I ever shared here, because it was the first time I'd ever gotten up to share in front of the people of the word. And first in Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 6 because it has thanksgiving in it. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And this next verse, verse 8, was the one that I shared because I thought this is what I saw in this church.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things I know are talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are Him, because He is only one that's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, and has virtue. And we're to think upon Him. And thinking upon Him, we have the attitude, we can have an attitude, a better attitude of living for Him and being a better brother, sister, family, you know, brother, husband, wife, whatever. And in those things, when we're thinking upon Him, we can be better. And I thank the Lord for this church, for the support and love that you've given us in the last 40 plus years, and praying for us and wherever we were. And I am thankful for y'all, and we pray for you, and we're just thankful for you.
Amen. Somebody got another song?
111. It is up.
Proverbs chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you look at verse 32, and of course, I could read the verses before it and the verses after it, so Brent wouldn't get mad at me for skipping the context. But you've read it plenty. Somebody already read Romans 8:28, which is great. But I just want to point out three things in this verse here. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Amen.
He that spared not his own son. Maybe I see it. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seems to me, first of all, we see that he says, he that spared not his own son. I can see the desire of God to spare Jesus Christ from dying on the cross. Amen. Jesus in the garden said, Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, if it be possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a tremendous statement. But it tells me that at that moment, God wanted to let him off it. It says he spared not his own son. In other words, God didn't want to put him through that. His desire was to spare him. But he spared him not. That brings me to the second point, and that is God's decision. His desire was, he did not want Christ to have to go to the cross. And Christ was righteous. He hadn't done anything wrong. It was completely against God's impulse or God's inclination to let a righteous man suffer to go through that. But God says he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, to me, this is an amazing thing.
Amen.
It's amazing that God would make that decision to put Christ through what he put him through on the cross. And that was a horrible thing. And God had to let him go through that. But he says he did it for us all. He did that for us. If we're going to be thankful, that's the first thing we got to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
More than anything else. That God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's the salvation of the soul. There's nothing more important in the whole wide world than that. And I'm thankful for that. In fact, I believe the Holy Spirit witnesses in our spirit every time we hear the story. Every time somebody mentions the bare facts of the story, the Holy Spirit tells us, you got to be thankful for that. That is the best thing that ever happened. Have you ever been in a song service and you see something the song says and there was an impulse in your heart just to shout out hallelujah? It's because the Holy Spirit's telling you there's nothing more important than that point.
Yes, true.
His desire was to spare him. His decision was to deliver him up for us all. But then you have the deduction. If that's true, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What is he going to deny us? What good thing would he deny us after he did that?
Yeah, that's right.
And this is the point of my life. This is what amazes me in my life. Not only did God give me salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life as a gift, just for believing his word and asking him for it, just like the thief on the cross, not only do I have eternal life, but I have everything else.
Amen.
It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Boy, hasn't that been the case? Everything. Gives me a wife. Gives me five children, healthy children, good looking children, 14 grandkids, good looking grandkids. They all look like their grandpa. I'm telling you, he's given us a church like this. Just tremendous. A building like this. Just tremendous. Fellowship. Wow, amazing fellowship. Good co-workers all my life. All my life I've worked with good people. Trust me, that's not automatic. Sometimes you get around people that are just junk. You know it. You've worked with people that just aren't worth being around.
But I've had great, a tremendous thing. I've had great parents. I live in a free country. I live in so many good things. He not only gave me eternal life and forgiveness of sins, but he gave me everything else, just piled it on. Makes me think about that time when God was rebuking David after he sinned through Nathan the prophet. And he said, I gave you this and I gave you that and I gave you that other thing and these other things, I gave you that. And he says, if that had been too little, I would have given you such and such more. And that's the way I feel like God's been with me. Just gives and gives and gives. And then says, anything else? Anything else you want? I mean, it's like God's just there to give me all things. Yeah. And if you really stop, I preach a message on the grace of life and how it just keeps going. You just keep thinking, no, that can't be. In fact, Paul speaks in such superlative terms that you just can't imagine. How is this possible? You could never just come up with this. How is it that he gives us forgiveness of sins and lets us stay alive after we've sinned? How is it that he gives us his Holy Spirit? How is it that he gives us eternal life? How is it that he tells us he's going to sit with us and eat with us and fellowship with us? And then how is it at the end he says he's going to gird himself and serve us? Yeah. This is just not possible.
Amen.
If you're not thankful, boy, you're missing it. You are really messing up your life if you're not thankful. I am thankful to God for all that he's given us. He's given us all these things. I'm thankful to God for this church, for all of you. Thankful to God for my parents and my wife and my children and my grandchildren and the health and the freedom, the political freedom and the freedom to work and the prosperity and the so many more blessings. And I can't even enumerate them all. I can't count them all. And he even says, and there's more. I have a feeling he's got more. I have this expectation that he's just going to give me more. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm thankful also for the our Hebrews. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, I don't know where we could find better leaders, men that really watch for our souls, that teach, that give their lives. They don't make, they're not looking for a better paying job. A lot of churches. And there's some great men in other churches, but there's also some churches where the men are just there and just waiting for a bigger church, one that pays better. Right. And the men, our leaders are just servants. They're servants, and we have to remember, even when we feel maybe a little rebuke, that they watch for our souls. They're watching out. They have, the Lord has and commended them with helping us to grow, to get through things. And I just praise the Lord because our church does have good leaders and men that are willing to sacrifice their time and even work a job so that they can fully devote themselves to leading us in the way, in the as we grow.
Amen. That's right.
See 137 in the supplement? Number 137 in the supplement.
Thank you.
78.
Thank you. soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. I just want to give thanks and praise to the Lord, merciful and for all his benefits, his mercies that are new each and every day, our church family, the safety that he gives us. The kids are on the road, so every day that they come home, it's like I know the Lord is watching over them. And then verse 3, I got to celebrate my mother's 93rd birthday with her last month. So that was a blessing, because I didn't think she was going to make it past the summer, and she did. I didn't think she was going to make it past September, and she did. And we got to spend another Thanksgiving with her. So I just count that as a benefit that I have another one more day. And it's all because God and his mercy is over. So I give him thanksgiving for that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans chapter 1. I just want to thank the Lord for everything. He's so good. He's
good.
Thanks,
the Lord.
By his grace. I've just spent so much with my family, and it's just amazing. But this is just something that caught my eye recently in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, who love God, called to be saints, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And that just reminded me of the common faith that we have, the community, God's people, just how much I would be thankful for that. I just think of, it's not just that I'm in a community now, but it's a community of faith, of people that believe their Bibles, that can counsel you, not just what they think, but they can show you a verse and say, here's what you ought to do, that we can encourage each other with God's promises. And if you're out, you know, you want to go out evangelism or something, that I can call someone and go with. And I just think of how God has used so many people in my life. And it's just been a real blessing. He's used that a lot. You know, just being able to gather and praise him every week, you know, it's just the highlight of my week, gathering with people that believe God. It's just amazing how God has used people in my life, people of faith, and I'm thankful for that. And this verse reminded me of that. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken out throughout the whole world.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show an exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. It's hard to do, but I thank God for the hardships that I suffered this year. It caused me to be aware that I was dependent upon him, and that I was commanded to love him in all things and trust him in all things.
Amen.
And he brought me through it.
Amen.
And he showed me his face through the actions of some people in this room. Some people extended mercy while I had suffered hardships. And it made me know that this is real, and God loves me no matter what, and that the hardship was good for me. My ago. And I'm able to thank God for taking him. He was suffering, and God relieved him of that suffering. And through talking to my brother, I had some time to find out where Bob stood with the Lord. And he thought that he had changed his life and now he does good things. And I told my brother, that's a problem. You can't do enough good to make yourself right with God.
That's right.
You must put your faith in him, and sure enough, you should do good works because you're saved, but that will not help you be saved.
That's right.
And so I was sure when my brother died that he knew what it meant and that he took it with the right attitude and he had a good relationship with Christ. Had my brother died a year ago, I could not stand up and tell you right now that he's with the Lord at this moment. But right now, I can tell you that he was, because I know it. I heard it from his lips, and I believed it. I felt his heart that it was true. And I praise the Lord that Bob was spared, that it very, very easily could have gone the other way. And I'm thankful for that. I will miss my brothers, but my sisters were broken up, very devastated about the loss of Bob, and I couldn't feel anything but joy that Bob was free of this world that has sin in it, and he's in a place where sin doesn't exist. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of God and of heaven, is that all the ugly things that we endure here, we know that that's not the way it should be, and that's not the way it will be. Hell isn't ugly because it's hot. Hell is ugly because it's full of sin, and it's without the love of God. And I praise God that I got it right, and it's my prayer that everybody in this room's got it right. We want nothing more than other people to share the same joy and hope that we have, and I'm thankful for that, and I encourage anybody here that's unsure about it to get sure, and you'll have something to be thankful for as well.
Amen.
First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One part of the will of God that we can and should all do: always give thanks.
Amen.
Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This is a confidence we have in God if we love and are called by Him, because all things are working together for good. We can and should give thanks. Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This was written by King David when he was being rebuked by Nathan the prophet as a spiritual truth. For me and many others, it's also a truth physically. I'm thankful that my mother did not abort me and allowed me to be born and adopted. I'm thankful that God allowed me to be raised by Christian parents in a Christian home. I'm thankful for my mother that forced me, as the oldest sibling, to always forgive my sister, even when we all knew she was the wrong one. She instilled in me an attitude of forgiveness that, as I got older, was a big part of identifying with and finally accepting the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He forgave when he knew he was right. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm thankful for my earthly father that showed me the values of hard work, honesty, consistency, and the example of living a Spirit-filled life. I'm thankful for a bad pickup accident when I was 13 years old. It caused me to turn my attention to God. At that time, I told God if He allowed me to live, I would do whatever He wanted. However, regretfully, shortly after that, I turned away from Him. I'm thankful for people, family, friends, acquaintances that God has brought into my life. I'm thankful for intimate relationships, even my failures. I thank God that He's blessed me with a daughter and now two sons because of my marriage with my lovely wife, Marina. I thank God for bringing Marina into my life and making her my wife. I'm thankful for her beauty, her kindness, her sweet spirit, respect, and love. For everything she does for me, for taking care around the house and taking care of me and herself. She is truly my partner, my love, and my friend. I'm thankful for the church, the way God has led Marina and I here, and the friendly welcome that we've received. I'm thankful for the opportunities to serve in the church and be co-laborers with Christ. Most importantly, I thank God for saving my soul. I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost caused me to see Jesus Christ as Lord and God. I'm thankful that Jesus paid for my sins when He willingly allowed Himself to be unjustly, falsely accused, and crucified. I may have known Him vaguely as a child, but now to know Him after ignoring Him and disobeying Him for so many of my younger years, it just gets sweeter and more meaningful every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Can we sing Psalm, 266 in the supplement? 266.
Save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What caught my attention whenever I read this a long time ago was just the surprise that there were 10 men, right? These 10 men, they obviously needed healing. They were lepers. These were outcasts. They couldn't even, you know, get close to people. In fact, with Jesus, they had to cry with a loud voice, right? I'm sure, you know, when a leper gets close to you, you're probably scared because you don't want to get that infection. So they were crying with a loud voice, have mercy, they needed help. And they cried out, and all 10 of them needed this healing. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they're going, they get healed, they get cleansed. But it says only one came back to Jesus and gave thanks. And that's what's surprising is you'd think all 10 of them would have been glad. All 10 of them should have been rejoicing. I mean, they just got healed from this horrible disease. And yet only one of them came back. And you know, Jesus actually shows that he was expecting all 10 to come back. Right? I mean, Jesus was expecting all of them to be thankful, all of them to return, but only one came back. And I think that's the truth. I think God is expecting thankfulness. Yes. Thankfulness is an expectation.
Yes.
When you receive something, and you know, you have to teach your kids, hey, when you get something, you have to be thankful, right? When you receive something from somebody, even if it's a birthday gift, you know, you need to say thank you.
Amen.
Because you have to express it. One thing I thought is, I wonder how many of them were actually thankful, but didn't come back. Mm-hmm. You know, they might have all been very grateful. They were probably all very happy. But it says only one of them actually came. Thankfulness requires some effort to show, right? Some appreciation.
Yes.
I can be thankful for my wife, but if I don't ever tell her, you know, thank you, it doesn't mean a lot. Sure. Thankfulness, if it's not expressed, is pretty useless if you don't ever say anything. And I'm pretty bad about that. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to everybody, but I'm not really good at expressing it. You know, I just expect people to understand. I expect people to know, you know, thank you. My coworkers, I probably hardly ever say thank you to them enough, but I am very thankful for them. But I don't express it enough. My wife, the church, my family, my parents, I don't say thank you enough, but the truth is when I read this, I understand that thankfulness requires some effort. It says he saw in verse 15 that he was healed. First of all, you gotta recognize something. You gotta recognize what God has done for you. A lot of times you can go through your life and you don't recognize everything that God has actually done in your life.
Amen.
You realize you have taste buds where you can actually enjoy the food that you eat.
Amen.
It tastes good and you like it. Boy, that's something to be thankful for.
Yes.
And right. Sometimes we just go on about our day and we're not even thankful that God created us in such an amazing way where we can feel and we can experience things. We can enjoy, we can feel happy and all these things. These are things that God has given us, and we need to recognize them. We need to see them. And then after he saw it, it says that he turned back. He actually made some effort to go, you know, they might have just kept on going their way. Hey, we're headed this way, and God did this for us, and we're going to continue down our way. But he made the effort to turn around and go back to Jesus because he knew he needed to be thanked. And he turned back, and he did it with a loud voice. He glorified God. You know, sometimes thank you, thankfulness, of praise needs to come out with a loud voice.
Yeah, that's right.
It just has to be expressed. You have to actually say it. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
This is thankfulness. With a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet. Now that expresses some thankfulness from this man. You know, and I think this is something we should practice. You don't have to do it in front of everybody, but I think at your house you should very often fall down at your face, on your face to the Lord. Just get on your knees, be humbled at thinking what God has done to you. He actually saved you.
Amen.
He saved your soul. You should be thankful. It says, he fell down at his feet giving him thanks. And Jesus saw it, and he recognized that this man needed to be thankful, but he thought, where are the other 10? And I don't want to be part of the 9 that doesn't give thanks. Right? I want to be the one or the few that do recognize God's gift and give Him thanks. And I do thank God for all the different things that He's done in my life and my wife, my children, my family, the church, my coworkers. I have a lot to be thankful to God for. But above all, I want to thank God because He saved my soul.
Amen.
We're all in this state of, like it says here, leprosy, but spiritually we're all far from God. The biggest danger we have in our life isn't, COVID or something like that. The biggest danger in our life is that if we die without Jesus Christ, we're going to be condemned because of our sin. And yet Jesus Christ, He died in order to save us from our sin. He died in order to give us eternal life, to redeem our soul. And that's what I'm grateful for. That's what I'm thankful for, because Jesus saved me. And I want to give thanks to God. I want to express my thanksgiving with my voice. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul.
Amen.
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 Right there close by in Luke chapter 19. I was thinking along the same lines, starting in verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I was just thinking lately, because one of my kids was telling me recently that all this AI and everything, and that robots are going to, you know, replace us, replace all these positions. But it made me think when I was reading this that, you know what? I don't want a robot to replace me or anybody else, but I sure don't want a rock or a stone to replace me. I want to make sure that I'm praying in the Lord like I should. I mean, that's just shameful that a rock would take my place and replace me if I didn't give the praise and the glory to God like He deserves. And I'm just thinking, like, Stephen, it's got to be audible. I've got to remember to say, Lord, praise you. Thank you. Like the verse Marty read, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I have been redeemed, and I praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to thank the Lord also for a certain attribute of His, that He's my Father. I realized this year that I have had a very, maybe unusual experience in my life, a blessing in my life, that I've experienced 3 amazing fathers. My perfect Father in heaven, who I get to just witness, love me, love y'all, just act in this world. And then I had an amazing earthly Father who just blessed me immensely, loving me, taking care of me, bringing me to church, teaching me good things. Like, He was involved in my life. He was there. He was faithful to my mother. And then an amazing father to my own children. I got all 3 of those. And I'm so grateful for God's gentleness as my father. I wanted to read Isaiah 40:11. I've shared it before, but it's just an amazing verse that reminds me of God's just His compassion and His gentleness with us. It says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And obviously, I'm very grateful for that last phrase right now, because I have a lot of young right now, and carrying young, and just to see how God, as my Father, treats me in this season of my life, and always, really. It's just mind-blowing. It just blows my mind that He would love me so much, that He would do so much for me, that He would give me so many things, so many benefits, and that He would protect me. It just amazes me. I'm so grateful that I get three amazing examples of fathers, and that my children just have an outstanding father also, and grandfather, and I just pray that they would have that same experience of our Heavenly Father also.
Yep.
And I just, another verse that Joshua was reading to us the other day in Proverbs 10, and I'm so grateful for, I don't really know if this is exactly how this is supposed to be understood, but this is just what it made me think of. Proverbs 10:16 says, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life." And I immediately thought of Joshua to our children. He's laboring. He does so much for our children, and I see the fruit of it. It tends to life in them. It tends to so much good in them, in me. And you know, I thought of God laboring for me. You know how He's done so much for me, and how much, like, I mean, life of more abundant, like just overwhelming life that God's a labor of righteousness has done for me as my father. So I'm just so grateful that He adopted me into His family. Praise the Lord.
Can we see 272 in the supplement?
One of the reasons I love it so much is there is a sinful woman and I can relate to that. And Jesus, he needed to go from Judea to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria. And I don't know, like Terry was saying, I don't know if this was planned, if he had her in mind, or if it was just she was at the right place at the right time. But I'm thankful no matter how it happens. I can't explain election, but I'm thankful that it happened, that he has grace on people, right? And he saves them. So I really like that verse, and he must needs go through Samaria. But a lot of people in the Bible, they came to Jesus. They needed healing, they needed a miracle. Sometimes they just needed counsel too, right? But they would come to him for stuff, you know, physical blessings or things that they needed taken care of. But he went to this woman. He approached her, and he offered her eternal life. And I'm thankful that I was placed in the family that I was placed in and the time that I was placed in. But I'm also thankful that he sought me, because I wouldn't have sought him. He sought me. And I'm thankful for that. And that he gave me eternal life. In verses 13, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water.
Amen.
Go to Psalm 40, and then Psalm 34. I wasn't going to share because we sang the song, but I thought we'd make it if you see. Thanks. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the fault, nor such as turns aside to life. Many, O Lord, are my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to us worth, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Amen.
In Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. There are so many verses and so many examples that we have of King David. He was mostly, it seems like, in the book of Psalms, that relate to everything, the things that we go through in this life. And I'm so grateful that God put it down in writing for us to know that we're not alone and that we are not. When we belong to him, we belong to him, no matter what.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for his mercy. I'm grateful for his grace. I'm grateful for my salvation. And I just am grateful that no matter where I find myself to be, that God is with me, and his Spirit brings me comfort. His Spirit brings me conviction to straighten up, to line up, to be aware of my life and how I'm living it for him. And not just for me, but for an example, because there's a part of here that, you know, talks about what I'm sorry, I can't relate to get to it, but we are an example of how we live. And sometimes I get so worried about being the example that I forget just live the life and let God reveal that, you know, in and of itself. So I'm grateful to the Lord for his mercy again, for his love for me, for my salvation, and for this church family, that no matter what, I always come back and, you know, y'all are here. Your love is knows no bounds, and I know it's the Lord. I'm very grateful.
Number 266 in the supplement.
praise his name.
Thank you, Lord.
For blessing me with with Christian parents, investing with this church, even though I kind of went off the rails for a few years, I was able to repent and come back. God has restored me, has given me a wonderful living, Christian wife, Christian daughters, and praise the Lord for that. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, I'm going to read quite a few verses because I feel like it's not doing these verses justice by skipping them.
Right.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbids. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Where we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, but henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And I want to thank Jesus publicly today that he has restored me, that he has renewed me, and that he, if you allow Christ to clean up your life, he will most definitely do that for you. Because we are dead to sin, but we are alive in Jesus Christ. And then you would turn over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're saved here today and there's something that you're going through, I promise you, Jesus can clean it up. I've been sober from alcohol and tobacco for 6 years. And it's only by the power of God and the grace of Jesus Christ that I've been delivered to that. I've been dead. I'm no longer a slave to those things. I'm no longer a slave to stupid people doing stupid things and alcohol and drugs, all those things. Jesus Christ has delivered me from that. Praise God for that. And if you're not saved here today, and if you're just hearing this for the first time, you know, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you're not saved here today, you can have it as well. And then once again, praise the Lord Jesus for, you know, renewal of the Spirit of, and for all his many blessings that he's given to us.
Amen.
Oh, and you can sing 226. Sorry, 226 in the supplement.
226 in the supplement.
Thank you.
23.
Finally, you made it up.
What took you so long?
Stay up.
Say it again.
First Chronicles chapter 23. I'm going to start reading. I can start reading in verse 25. I'm going to read a few verses. Just want to look at something a little bit later. But to get the context, for David said in verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 23, the Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan, for that which is fried and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. I get a kick out of this. My favorite holiday in all the year is Thanksgiving.
Amen.
I think if there's anything that we can say about America, that's probably the greatest place in the world, because we have a day set aside by our government that we can all sit down and say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Whether most of the people get drunk on it, most of the people misuse it, whether or not most of the people don't use it right. And it's been amazing to me this past week how many times I've come across people complaining about how people abuse it. They get drunk over Thanksgiving and ruin the day. It's not a day for drinking. It's a day for thanking. It's a day for giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God is a big doctrine in Scripture. It's a big thing for us. I mean, he says giving thanks always for all things.
Amen.
In everything give thanks. And we've been talking about it. Man, what a thing that we ought to be doing all the time is to give thanks. And God even set it up through David that they were going to have people assigned a job. This was their job. Can you imagine this being your job? Get up early in the morning. You got to go and move up at 6 o'clock just before the sun comes up. And you got to go somewhere and stand there and praise and give thanks to God.
Amen.
Wow, what a job. Can you imagine doing that on the streets every morning? Can you imagine going down and you've got a central place, you've got to meet two or three places around the square in Jerusalem, and you're going to stand in the morning, and you're going to be there, and you're going to meet your two or three buddies or whoever you're meeting with. You're going to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
That would be a job there.
Amen.
That's settled in Scripture. That's not anything unusual. That's the way God set it up.
Amen.
We ought to be a thankful people.
Amen.
If there's anything we ought to be, it's a thankful people.
Amen.
Right, yeah.
I am thankful. I'm thankful for my salvation.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen.
I'm thankful for a God that loved me enough to send his son and spare him not.
Amen.
Let him go to the cross. Pay for my sin. Save my soul. And after he saved my soul, constantly remember to forgive me for my constant failures.
Amen.
His mercy endureth forever. I was looking through the scriptures on Thanksgiving, and how many times does it talk about thank the Lord for his mercy endureth forever, for his mercy endureth forever, for his mercy endureth forever.
That's right.
We have a great God.
Amen.
And he's worthy of our thanks. He's worthy of our praise. And how many times you look at the way other people translate different words, and they translate praise and thanksgiving and same words and whatever. If we praise God because he's worthy of our thanks, he's worthy of our praise. What did he do for you today?
Everything.
You're here. You're breathing. You're alive. You're thinking.
Thank you.
I thank God for all of that.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for me. Man, I'm not you and you're not me. I'm so glad for that. I'm glad. I know you are. Amen. I have a mind. I think. God has allowed me to learn to discern right from wrong, and not always that I do it right, but he's given me that ability.
It's true.
He's given me the ability to think about things and say, wait a minute, I'd rather choose God in this situation. I'm going to go after that. And I can repent when I've chosen wrong. I can repent and go back and still serve God. I have that ability. He gave me that. It's who I am. Me, myself, and I, and all of my quirks, and all of my eccentricities, and all of my failures, and all of my faults. One day God's going to make me something glorious. Amen. He's going to give me a glorious body. He's going to give me a body without sin. I'm not going to make these stupid mistakes. And I'm not going to be the same failure that I've been in so many other times. I'm going to be great like Him. I'm going to have a glorious body like Him because He died on the cross of Calvary to save me. He gave us eternal life.
Amen.
Can you imagine? We're talking about one day we're going to be with God. And just, wow. I'm going to put a thought in here. My order's all messed up. 10.5 months ago, I was going to a conference in Mexico. I was hijacked. My car was taken. I was kidnapped and held hostage for about 3 hours. And I know that during that time, I got to the point where I don't know. I have no idea.
No idea.
No idea at all. You get to the point where I'm sitting there in the back of the car. My head's down because they're holding me down. I guess they don't want anybody to see. I'm not quite sure. I don't know what to pray for. Oh, God, help. That's all I could say. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. What am I supposed to pray for? Just help. They stopped the car. They kicked us out. Said, walk down that road. Don't come back. We started down that road and we stopped. And I told Omar, we got to stop. I got to thank God. I'm alive.
Amen.
They didn't hit me one time. They didn't hit me with a butt of a gun. They didn't hit me with the back of a gun. They didn't shoot me. They didn't beat me up and leave me out in the desert for dead. I'm alive. Amen. And we thank God. I started walking and I made it back and I made it back to the States. And I had to go through times of decisions and whatever else. And I know that for this year has been hard on me. And I don't want to take that out on you. That's not your fault. You have been very supportive. But a while back, I was at home thinking about it and fighting spiritually, mentally. The Lord showed me one day, just popped into my head, Eddie, you're alive.
Amen.
You're home. You're seeing your children. You've got your wife with you. You're seeing your grandchildren. You're alive. You have a chance to start. You could have been dead in the desert. Nobody even found your body.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
I thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank the Lord for all the people who prayed for me while I was there. Keep your missionaries in prayers. Some of them are in some bad spots. But I thank God for that. I was also thinking about that when today as I was thinking, this old man's getting close. One day he's going to step out of this realm. We just buried Jim Campbell. We just buried Marion Edgeman. And I just wonder what it was like to wake up. They opened their eyes finally. I'm alive. I'm alive. It's real. God is real. I see Him face to face. He laid His right hand on my shoulder. Fear not.
Amen.
I'm the first and the last.
Amen.
I serve a great God.
Amen.
And one day I'm going to see Him face to face.
Amen.
One day, He who rescued me will take me out of this place and give me a body and give me a hope and give me a life where I'm going to live forever to please and glorify His name.
Amen.
I had a lot of things to be thankful for.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm thankful for each and every person in this room.
Amen.
By name, I don't know. I could go through, and I don't know everybody in this room, but I could go through for most of you and tell you I'm thankful for you and why I'm thankful for you. You've been a blessing to me. You've been a blessing to others. And I appreciate it. I appreciate this church. I appreciate all that we have here and all that the Bible that is taught here and everything that we got. I appreciate being able to come here and people who share the Word of God, and I'm encouraged. I'm edified. I'm lifted up. I am rebuked at times. I am taught at times.
Amen.
I'm brought together.
Amen.
Thankful for this, not only this body of this church, this church family, because it is a family. You pray for me, I pray for you, we pray for each other, we care. We come together, we care about this book, we care about this word, and I am thankful for this book. I am thankful.
deal with people and they don't believe this book. And I'm thinking, man, you missed it. I missed it. How much do we get out of this just to keep us going day in and day out? I am thankful for the Word of God, its promises, its hope, its rebuke. Everything about it is good for us. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for my country.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I have lived in other countries.
That's right.
I have made my abode and my residence in three other countries in this world. And I wouldn't trade them for the United States of America. Not for anything. For all of our problems, I thank God for America.
Amen.
Its freedoms, its protections, the opportunities we have here, the wealth we have here.
Amen.
And I think I attribute a lot of our wealth to Christianity and the Bible and a Christian heritage in this nation. For all its problems, we do have a Christian heritage. There were people who were looking at this Bible and trying to make decisions on how to build a government based upon this book.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the heritage that it gave me.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my parents. Thankful for grandparents that were Christians. Parents that were Christians. Thankful for family, siblings that were Christians. I'm thankful for my children and my grandchildren. Christians trying to follow God. I'm thankful for a good family. I am thankful for so many things. I'm thankful for my wife, my children. God has been so good.
Amen.
I'm here today to give thanks. And like you said, I want to be not one of the nine. I want to be one of the ones. I don't want to be a stone that's sitting there doing nothing. I want to thank God. If there's anything worth doing, it says in Romans chapter 1 that one of the condemnations of this world is that they were not thankful. I want to be thankful. I know there's a God. He is a real and a living God. He saves souls. He wants to save souls.
Thank you, Lord.
I was thinking also about it, and I'm looking at, actually, I'll read it, Hebrews chapter 12. You may seem this is strange. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness."
Thank you, Lord.
"Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby."
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about it. Doesn't matter what you're going through, whether it's chastisement, trouble, good times, whatever it is, he's doing it for our profit. There's never a time he's doing it for our damage.
Yes.
There's never a time that he's trying to hurt us. There's never a time that he's trying to bring us down except to put us in a place of humbling and learning so that we can grow and have the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Amen.
He's doing it all for us. It's all for our good. I praise
Thank
the God
you,
of glory,
Amen.
The God of my Father, the Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to bring praise today.
Praise the Lord. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, I will let you.
Listen in Proverbs 22, verse 19, "That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day to thee. Have I not written to thee extra things and counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the word of truth, that thou mightest answer the word of peace to them that sin unto thee? And this was a blessing to me, particularly because the Lord is concerned whether or not we believe in him, we trust in him, and that he blesses me to know that he cares for me in that way. And then he gives us the certainty of his word. That's why he gives us the certainty of his word. And his word has proven it's many things that we can, that he can help us in our lives. For instance, I thought I had forgiven the situation in the past, and when I came to this church, I was telling myself, I forgave, I know I forgave. And the hardest thing was to talk to this person. And I thought, no, I'm
know I'm right. I know I'm right in this situation, and whether I'm right or not, the Word of God teaches me forgiveness, even through the best example, which is salvation. His salvation is about forgiveness, and I was convicted, but then I kept telling myself, no, I forgave, and I heard so many great preachings from here about forgiveness, and I still convinced myself, no, I forgave. Well, the Lord just changed my heart and showed me that I had not really forgiven, and I was misunderstood of what forgiveness was, and I think that I hear different people have their own take of what forgiveness is, but the scriptures gives the truth about forgiveness, and God did not require anything of me to say. It was all Him. He sent His Son. He died for me. He paid the price. And so when it comes to forgiveness, the Word, which tells the truth about forgiveness, taught me that it's not about me being right. It's not about me feeling like I need to vindicate myself. It's not about me at all. I have to put myself to the side, even in very difficult situations. What I had to forgive was something that was going on since I was like 15, and I left it at 31. So it was years, and so it took years to even come to the acknowledgement that I had not forgiven. And so I just want to thank the Lord that He brought me to this point and showed me through His truth what forgiveness really is.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I know that several of you want to say some more. You got some more to go, but we're going to break now for lunch. We will have an opportunity to continue after the